We now begin the eighth parak of Maseches Bechoros, and this is a whole new topic. This is the topic of Bechor Adam, a firstborn Jewish boy. And the Bechor here has two separate potential issues. One is what's called Bechor LaKohen, that is to say the requirement to do Pidyon HaBen, just so we had a redemption of a firstborn Peter Rechem of a donkey and of kosher animals. Now we're going to talk about the Peter Rechem of a human Jewish baby. And that will be the first child born to a mother, a Jewish mother. If it's a boy, so then it needs to be redeemed for five slum, as the pasuk requires. The Kohen gets five slum, and the baby is therefore redeemed. If it doesn't get redeemed, there's actually no specific like restrictions on the child, but there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to do this redemption. As we said in the beginning of the Masechta, this dates back all the way, or its origins rooted back already to the Makas Bechoros, the plague of the firstborn back in Egypt. And then later on, initially the Bechoros, the firstborn Jewish boys, the ones who are going to be doing the service, like what Kohanim do, after the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf, that was transferred to Kohanim, and the Jewish-born, non-Kohanim, firstborn males are essentially exempted, replaced by the Kohanim, and therefore this requirement of Pidyon HaBen exists. There's a separate unrelated issue, okay? And that is the Bechor, the firstborn Jewish boy, is entitled to Pishnaim, a double portion of an inheritance, what's called Bechor LeNachla, okay? And that means, essentially, if a man has, let's say, three boys, so then his estate is divided into three plus one, or four portions, and the firstborn, the Bechor, gets two of those four portions, and the other of the brothers each get one. Okay, so he gets double relative to his other brothers. That's called Bechor LeNachla. Now, these two issues are totally, essentially, unrelated. The Bechor LeKohen means a woman's firstborn, if it's a boy, called it's also her Peter Rechem, the thing which opens her womb, which the first issuance, the first child she has. Okay? The Bechor LeNachla is the man's firstborn. Okay? Nothing to do with the wife. And therefore, simply put, let's say a man has two wives, so then the first child born to him, that will be the Bechor LeNachla, and the other woman's firstborn will not be a Bechor LeNachla, whereas each of the two wives could have a Bechor LeKohen, each could have the firstborn child be a son, and each would need to have Pidyon HaBen done. Okay, so the essential, this Mishnah will come to contrast those halachas a little bit. The essential thing you have to understand regarding the Bechor for the Nachla inheritance is that the pasuk refers to the firstborn as Reishis Ono. Okay, there in Devarim, we talk about right around, you know, the pasuk says, essentially, he talking about if a man has two wives and he prefers one over the other, he can't give preference to the one he likes if the one he doesn't like as much has the firstborn son. And the end of the pasuk, the parsha says, Ki es ha-bechor ben hasnua yakir leseslo pishnayim b'chol asher yimatelo. If the firstborn to him is born to the wife he doesn't like, so then that child gets double. Ki hu reishis ono, because that firstborn child is the first of his ono, call it his strength or his vigor, let's call it. Lo mishpata bechorah, to him is the law of the firstborn. So this reishis ono, is the first of his strength, means the first child born to him, and it's a very strange choice of words. And because of the strange choice of words, ono, Chazal make a drasha, understanding it's also relating to the notion like an onen, someone who's in aninos, means like mourning over a lost relative. It has to be that for a child to be eligible for the reishis nachla, for the Bechor LeNachla, the double portion, he must be the kind of child that the father would mourn over, which means, the first child over which the father would mourn over, which means under normal circumstances, first child. But let's say if the first issuance, like the firstborn to this wife, let's say a man has just one wife, okay, and has a very conventional family like nowadays. If the first thing born to this woman is, let's say a stillborn, so the Torah is making, Chazal making a psychological assessment that the father doesn't mourn over that stillborn child, like as if it were lost a child, and therefore the second child that this woman gives birth to, which is the first viable child, so that one will still be a Bechor LeNachla, entitled to a double portion, even though he certainly will not be a Bechor Lako, and he won't be entitled, needed to do a Pidyon HaBen, because the previous stillborn child is what was the Petah Rechem, but opened her womb, if you will. Okay? So with that, the Mishnah is going to do what the Mishnah often does, which essentially will say, we have these two separate issues, one Bechor LaNachla, one Bechor LaKohen, and there's a possibility that a boy could be either the Bechor LaNachla and not the Bechor LaKohen, or the Bechor LaKohen not LaNachla, or both, or neither. Now, the simple cases are simply that, if a boy is the firstborn to his father, he's going to be entitled to the Bechor LaNachla, the double portion of inheritance. But if, let's say, the mother had a child before, he won't have Pidyon HaBen requirements. And similarly, if it's the firstborn to the woman, let's say a man has two wives, so this woman, even if she's giving, it's not the father's firstborn, but it's the mother's firstborn, it'll have requirements of Pidyon HaBen, Bechor LaKohen, but not Bechor LaNachla, no double portion. If the child is, you know, the firstborn of both parents, then he'll be needing both Bechor LaNachla and Bechor LaKohen. And if he's not the firstborn to either, he'll need neither. That's the straightforward case. But the Mishnah doesn't discuss the obvious cases. It right away kind of jumps into the deep end and says these sort of very many, many unusual cases, which will sort of bring out the various halachas and exemptions when it comes to both Bechor LaNachla and Bechor LaKohen, both who might not be or yes entitled to double portion of inheritance, as well as needing Pidyon HaBen. Okay, so with that, let's get into the Mishnah in earnest. The Mishnah says, so the Mishnah begins, Yesh Bechor LaNachla, Ve'enu Bechor LaKohen. It's a possibility that a person, a boy, could be entitled to be the firstborn with respect to getting the Nachla, the double portion of inheritance. But Ve'enu Bechor LaKohen, he wouldn't be eligible for or required to have Pidyon HaBen. Similarly, you could have Bechor LaKohen, Ve'enu Bechor LaNachla. You could have a Bechor who is a firstborn with respect to needing a Pidyon HaBen, Ve'enu Bechor LaNachla, but he's not entitled to the double portion as a firstborn. You could have a Bechor LaNachla ULaKohen. You could have a Bechor who is entitled to both the double portion as well as required to have Pidyon HaBen. Ve'enu Bechor LaNachla ULaKohen, and you could have a Bechor, you could have a person who is entitled to neither firstborn double portion, and also doesn't need Pidyon HaBen. Again, there are obvious cases that you could think of yourself, but the Mishnah will discuss sort of like the various chedushim to teach you a hilchos of when someone is putter from, you know, Bechor or one or the other. So, says the Mishnah, first of all, Ezo Bechor LaNachla Ve'enu Bechor LaKohen. What are the scenarios, or some of the scenarios, where a boy is entitled to get the double portion as the firstborn of his father, and yet he doesn't need to have Pidyon HaBen. He's not relevant, not shaykh to the lachas of Bechor LaKohen. So, many examples. The first is, Haba Achar Hanafalim Sheyatza Rosho Chai. If a woman is giving birth, let's say she has twins, the first one that, like, his head emerges into the world is Reuven, but then the head goes back inside, and then Shimon comes out. Okay? So now, if it turns out then that Reuven is a Nafal, meaning he's not a viable birth. He doesn't come out essentially fully cooked, we'll call it, you know, not fully developed. And therefore, he doesn't survive, even the first 30 days. So then Shimon is the oldest surviving of the two. So for that reason, Shimon will not have the need to have Pidyon HaBen because he wasn't the Petah Rechem. The head, the majority of the head coming out is what opens the womb. And that was Reuven who did that, okay, even though he didn't end up surviving. He wasn't really viable as a navel. He was like underdeveloped. But Shimon will be entitled to the double portion because since Reuven, his older, the one who preceded him, was essentially born a navel, he was not viable. So the father never sort of invested him in having hope that he would survive. So the father wouldn't mourn his death as a loss of a child. Okay, just was a non-viable child. And therefore, Reuven wouldn't be Rachis owner, the first child that the father would look at as someone he would mourn over, but Shimon is, and therefore Shimon is exempt from Pidyon HaBen, but he is entitled to the double portion of as a Bechor. Similarly, Uben Tisha Sheyatza Rosho Meis. If you have a Ben Tisha, this means, as opposed to an Eifel, this is a fully developed child, but it's stillborn. So when its head came out, it was already dead. So again, same idea, it's Petah the Rechem, it does open the Rechem, the first, that we'll call again Reuven, was born stillborn, but the father didn't invest in him any hope, and it's not, therefore he is not Rachis Ono, and therefore Shimon, the second child who comes out after that, he is Rachis Ono, because the father looks at him as his first child, if you will, like psychologically, so to speak, and therefore Shimon is entitled to double portion. But since he didn't open the womb, he didn't come out first physically, then therefore he's not the Petarech, not subject to opinion HaBen. I'm going to recommend skipping the next Keta for a moment. We're going to skip these words because I know they're going to throw you off. Experience will show me. We're going to skip this. We'll come back to it, Bez Hashem. Also, Hamapeles Sandal, if a woman has a miscarriage, and the miscarriage that comes out is a sandal. This means you had two children in the womb. One child essentially got smushed and didn't survive. That's the sandal. Okay? So when it comes out, again, it's considered to be like a human that came out and is Petar Rechem, but the father, again, didn't invest hope in it, so it's not the Reishis Ono. Oshilia. Oshilia is the amniotic sac. Okay, like the part, the infrastructure that holds the baby in the body. So the Chazal say you can't have a shilia without a vlad. If the body developed, you know, an amniotic sac and a placenta, so then there's definitely a baby in there somewhere. So that being the case, even if you don't see a baby or can't find an embryo, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's considered to be the one came out. So that thing was the Petar Rechem, in which case the second thing that comes out is not subject to Pidyon HaBen, but of course it's a Reishis Ono, so we'll have the double portion of the inheritance. The Shafir Merukam, a Shafir is a, Shafir means like there's a, the word Shafir means something which has, it's like a membrane that has something inside of it. So like the word Shofar has like a casing around it, the Shofar horn with a hollow in the middle, and like Shofar Shel Beitza, like an eggshell in the Mishnah Shabbos. So Shafir means like there's a membrane and there's something inside of it. So here we have like, this is like a miscarried baby, which has it's shvir merukam. Merukam means it's starting to knit together. So it means there's actually inside this membrane there's flesh developing. Okay, so this is a child that didn't make it, but it was you know, you'll see it's after 40 days from conception. So that counts as the petar rechem, even though it's not the father's no psychological connection to it, it's not reishis ono. Therefore, the next child will be the one that is entitled to the pishnayim, double portion. Also, if Rechman Atzan, like the baby comes out in pieces, you know, like disjointed pieces, mechutach, then it's still, again, that's the Petar Rechem. It counts as the first one that opened the womb, so therefore the second child is not going to have Pidyon HaBen. And in all those cases, Haba Achareyan, the one that's born after these various miscarriages, Bechor L'Nachal of Enel Bechor L'Kohen. So they're also, they're Bechor L'Nachal, meaning the second child is Reishis Ono and gets a double portion, but they aren't subject to the halachas of Pidyon HaBen. The case I skipped, I'll go back to right now. It's v'hamapeles kamin behema chai va'of, that a woman has a miscarriage, and what comes out has absolutely no resemblance whatsoever to a human being. It looks like a behema chai va'of, some sort of like, you know, looks like a cow, let's say, for example, or a bird. So in those cases, says Reb Meir, that counts as the petar rechem. Since it looks like a behema chai va'of, that's enough even to consider the first issuance of the womb. The Hacham Orim Ajie Bo Mitzuras Adam. The Hacham saying the halacha is it has to have some resemblance, even part of its face, to be like a human being. If it has absolutely zero resemblance to human, it's like some other creature, the Hema Chayav Of, then it is, says the Hacham and the halacha, that doesn't count. That doesn't count as the Petar Rechem, it's something else besides a birth of a human. Rabbi Meir is going to hold this because of the Pasuk used the word Vayitzara, like Yitzira. Like Yitziras Havlad, the formation of the Vlad, he uses the same Vayitzar in Parshas Bereishis and the Chumash to talk about these like larger animals, Behema Chai Va'of. So he understands that their Yitzira counts like enough, like a human being, that it's like a firstborn, so to speak, to exempt. Halachan, like the Cham, whoever who holds Ad Shehe Bo Mitzuras Adam, doesn't count unless it has some resemblance to a human being. Mishlo Hayolo Banim, Benasa Isha Shekvar Yalda. A man who had no children, and yet he marries a woman who had a child from before. So this is an obvious case where this is her first child, and therefore that would be entitled to the double portion. It's not her first child, therefore it's not what is the Petar Rechem, and shouldn't need Pidyon HaBen. But says the Mishnah, this is true even if Oda Shivcha V'Nishtachra, even if she had her first child while she was a Shivcha Kananis, she wasn't Jewish at the time, but then she later on was emancipated and he married her. Or Oda Nachris, she was a Gentile when she had her first child, Vinis Gaira, and then she converted. And then Mishabasli Yisrael, when she became a Jewess proper, then he married her, and then Yalda, and then she gave birth to her, I'll call it her second biological child. Okay? So it says the Mishnah, b'chor l'nachal aveinu b'chor l'kohen. So this is, it's still the case, like I said before, the obvious intuitive answer, which is, this is her, not her first child, therefore exempt from Pidyon HaBen. It is his first child, and therefore entitled to the double portion. Now, the chiddush here is that there is a general principle when it comes to a convert. A convert in Jewish law is kakatan shanola dami. It's like a newborn person. And therefore, you might have thought that what happened before conversion doesn't count. She's because of total restart, even so much so that the child born now to her, her second biological child, is like her first born birth as a Jew, and that's the halachic petarechem, meaning would be required to have pidyon haben. And in fact, that is a shita here in the Tanaim. It's a machlokas Tanaim. Says the Mishnah further, Rabbi Yose Galili Omer, he says exactly that. Rabbi Yose Galili says, b'chor l'nachla ula kohen, that she indeed not just gets double portion, but also this child, the second biological child, that is her first child as a Jew, and therefore needs pidyon haben. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, petarechem b'Yisrael, the first issuance of a Jew. And therefore it doesn't count what happened before she became a Jew. Now that she's a Jew, that's what matters, says Rabbi Yose Galili. Just a side point, important point. There's actually no pasuk in the Torah that says Peter Rechem b'Yisrael. There are two other pasukim that are very similar to that. One says Peter Kol Rechem b'Vnei Yisrael. One says Peter Rechem mi'Bnei Yisrael. But he's sort of just summarizing that point to say the point is it has to be a Peter Rechem b'Yisrael, first issuance as a Jewish mother, if you will, and what happened before doesn't count. Okay, that's Hishita. The halacha doesn't follow him, but in fact, the Chachamim agree with that principle that a convert is katan shenola adam, like a newborn person. They just hold that the very fact the pasuk says that it has to be a petarechem mi Yisrael or bi Yisrael, so that's the chiddush. The chiddush the pasuk is telling you that if her initial tiras rechem, her initial birth that opened her womb, so to speak, happened when she wasn't Yisrael, then forevermore she'll be exempt. So in other words, the point is they agree to this notion of Kakatan Shnol Adami. It's just that the pasuk is telling you that her second biological child now doesn't count towards Pidyon HaBen. The Mishnah goes on to the second category where you have children that are indeed required to have Pidyon HaBen but aren't entitled to the double portion. So the basic case is Mishai Lo Vanim, a man who has children ready, Venasa Isha Shlo Yalda, and he marries a woman now who never had a child before. So, of course, his firstborn is elsewhere, and her first child would be subject to Pidyon HaBen. But this is true, says the Mishnah, even if Nisgara Mu'uberes, or Vinishtachra Mu'uberes, even in a case where the couple, when she became pregnant, they were not Jewish. And now she converts so that when the child is born, the child is Jewish. So the chiddush here is that since when she gave birth, she was Jewish, and this is her Peter Rechem, her first child, so therefore, it certainly would be subject to Pidyon HaBen requirements. But the rule is that if a baby is conceived when the father is not yet Jewish, so then when the mother converts, that's called Harasa Shloba Kedusha. She became pregnant not in a state of Kedusha, meaning the husband's not Jewish. So the father is not really miyuchas, he's not halachically connected in terms of pedigree to the child. So that means when the child is born, halachically speaking, technically, it isn't really connected at all to the father, and therefore it wouldn't inherit the father. So that being the case, even though the father now converts, and he's Jewish also, that child which was conceived before he became Jewish isn't entitled to any Yerusha at all, not a double portion, which is the focus of our Mishnah, but actually no portion whatsoever, okay? That'll raise the question, well, so who should do Pidyon HaBen if this happened, if the woman and men both weren't Jewish at the time of conception, but then were Jewish at the time of birth? So the father won't be responsible because he's not mityaches to his son, right? They're not halakhically connected, so it's not his son halakhically, so he wouldn't have to do Pidyon HaBen. And the mother will be exempt because there's no mitzvah for a woman, no obligation a woman to pay the 5 shalom to a kohen, which means the child, when he becomes bar mitzvah, he'll have to do Pidyon HaBen on himself to redeem himself, okay? Now, the Mishnah gives another example of where you have, again, a requirement to do Pidyon HaBen, but not yet, this child not entitled to the double portion of Yerusha. So the cases are essentially where we have two children getting mixed up at birth. So there are two couples. One is a regular, let's call them both Yisraelim. So therefore their child would be subject to Pidin HaBen. But the wife, Yalda, he, the Kohenes. The other woman in the room that gives birth is a Kohenes, meaning her, she's a Bas Kohen, whatever it is, or her husband's a Kohen. And therefore the child doesn't need Pidin HaBen, but they got mixed up. So you don't know which one is goes to whom. Or he, Ulavia, the other woman in the room is a Levi, she's married to Levi, daughter of a Levi, and therefore, again, that woman's child would be exempt from Pidin HaBen. Or he, Ve'isha Shekvar Yalda, the other woman in the room with her, is a woman who already had a child from before. So this is her second child, and therefore that child, of course, is exempt from Pidin HaBen. So in all those cases, if the two babies are mixed up, so then no child, none of these children could claim on their father and their siblings, we'll call it, that they're for sure entitled to any inheritance whatsoever because they can't prove they're his son, and therefore Hamotzu Mechaver Avlav Araya, the burden of proof is on them to show they're entitled to an inheritance. They can't present that proof, and therefore they won't be entitled to anything, neither a double portion, even a single portion. As far as Pidin HaBen goes, however, even though the Jewish Yisrael father doesn't know which of the two kids is his kid, he knows one of these two boys is his boy, and that boy needs Pidin HaBen. And therefore he'll have to do Pidin HaBen by giving five shlamim to the Kohen and say, whichever of the two boys is my boy, that's the one I want you to redeem. Okay, another case along the same vein. V'chein mi shelo shahasa achar ba'ala shlosha chadashim v'nisas v'yalda. A woman who had been married, and then her marriage comes to an end, either her husband divorced her or he dies. And now the halacha is she's supposed to wait 3 months before remarrying. So we can know for certain, if another child comes, it'll say 9 months after the death or divorce, will know to whom this child belongs, okay? So she didn't. This woman didn't. She got remarried, and say 9 months afterwards now of her husband's, first husband's death or divorce, so now she has another child. And therefore, ein yadua, we don't know. Im ben tisha l'rishon, maybe this is baby is born from 9 months and it's a regular birth from the first husband. Or ben shival achron, or maybe this, you know, is actually the second new husband's child and just was born after 7 months, born early. Since we don't know, same situation. This child will not be able to demand a Yerusha from either of the two men because he doesn't know who his father is. But since we know for sure it's a Peter Rechem, this woman's first child, he'll be subject to the requirements of Pidin HaBen. Fine. Now, Mishnah wraps up all these cases is Bechor LaKohen, Vein HaBechor LaNachla, like we explained. Yes, Pidin HaBen, but no inheritance. Okay. Now, let's go to the third of the categories. Ezu Bechor LaNachla ULaKohen. What's the case of a boy who's entitled to both the double portion and required to Pidin HaBen? So, of course, the base case is a good old-fashioned, a man and wife get married, they have a child. First child, if it's a boy, Pidin HaBen and Bechor for Nachla. But here, our Mishnah is going to say, well, there are things that could go wrong ahead of time, which you might have thought essentially would exempt, but they don't exempt. So the idea is here, various miscarriages, okay, where a woman miscarries something, and the Mishnah is going to say, well, that doesn't count. That doesn't count as the Peter Rechem. So just to speak it out for a moment, listen, the Peter Rechem, which literally means kind of like the opening of the womb, doesn't literally mean the mechanical opening of the womb. If a woman, you know, bleeds every month or it has an IUD inserted in or something, and the Rechem is open from the bottom, like there's cervix was opened up, that's not called Peter Rechem. It has to be she gives birth to a child of some description, right? That's something like a human that didn't make it, something like that. That word that didn't make it for that matter. So that would be called the Peter Rechem. So our Mishnah is going to say certain things that she could miscarry, which don't count as the first issuance of a child, that counts as Peter Rechem. So for example, says the Mishnah, Hamapelis Shafir. If the woman gives birth to miscarries a Shafir. A Shafir is essentially a membrane, okay? A membrane that holds something inside of it. Again, like I said earlier in the Mishnah, like the word shofar and the shofar shel beitza, like an eggshell or a shofar, it's this outside membrane, something inside. But we had before, it has to be that it's merukam, that it's like kind of knitting together, it's coming together as an embryo. But this isn't that way. The shfir is simply male dam, it's just a sack of blood, or male mayim, which is clear fluid, or male ganinim, it's just full of ganinim, either means tupshat and bar tenura, either a like just multicolored stuff, but there's nothing like coming together as a, you know, coherent organism, right? Just bits and pieces of tissue. mixed tissue of different colors. Or another pshat is it's like little shreds of tissue that are like kind of worm-like shreds, long, skinny shreds. So again, both those things, it's not a child coming together, therefore it doesn't count. It's like just a blood clot or something like that. Or mapelis kemin dagim v'chagavim shkatzim v'ramasim. Something comes out of her, but it has absolutely no resemblance to a human being. So Rita said earlier on in the Mishnah, that doesn't count unless it has some resemblance. But there, Reb Meir said, if it looks like a chaya behem or of, it does count. But here, even Rabbi Meir agrees it doesn't count because this is very technical. Because since the pasuk refers to the word vayitzer, like a yitzira formation in Bereishis about those more sophisticated animals, but not by these lesser shkatz or masim dogim, you know, these little small simple creatures like worms and fish and, you know, I don't know, it's, it looks like an octopus, a spider, something little like that. So those don't count according to everybody. And also, hamapeles yom arbaim, this is the basic normal case of the halacha, this is what where it all is about. If a woman has a miscarriage on the 40th day from conception, okay? Just note, halachically speaking, when women measure their gestation period nowadays, they say a woman is like, you know, 6 weeks. They mean 6 weeks from the last period, not 6 weeks from conception. Just note that. There's a 2 week variance, roughly, between the last period and conception. In any case, so Yom Arba'im, if the miscarriage happens on the 40th day from conception or earlier, the 39th day, etc., so then it doesn't count. And meaning it doesn't count as the petarechem. And therefore, haba achrein, when the woman has a second healthy baby after that, so then b'chol enachla ula kohen, that child is considered to be the firstborn, both in terms of the inheritance, Rachel's own, of course, because the father isn't going to mourn the loss of the miscarried, unviable, you know, thing. But he certainly will, this first child that is viable. And also this first child is the first child that's considered to be the petarechem that opened legitimately the womb. So it also has an obligation of pinyon haben.